Hi, I'm Karen Anderson, the host of Life Now.
Your life is now. Your life is now. Your life.
Welcome to Life Now, the radio show devoted to living well in this life rather than preparing for the next. Our purpose is to investigate where people really live according to their most honest selves, to probe and extract where boldness rears its promising head, and to uplift those moments where integrity, compassion, and justice are dispensed to oneself and others. A challenging feat, we know, but one worth aspiring to.
Oh, my dear, our love is here to stay. Together we're going a long, long way.
Good morning, I'm Sarah Berger, and today's show is held close to my heart. You just heard our song. Jenny Tucker and I have been together for 29 years. During that time, we've experienced many of the same joys and sorrows of other couples, both straight and gay. Like most couples who've been together a long time, we've learned to celebrate the good times and to survive those times when strength, compassion, and forgiveness must be found. We've protected each other as best we can with legal forms and documents, but they will never replace the nearly 1,800 federal and state benefits, protections, and responsibilities that marriage provides. When doors have cracked open, we have opened the door and walked through. When Vermont approves civil unions, we, like many other out-of-state couples, journey to Vermont to take that step, although our civil union is not recognized in New York, our state. And when Canada began marrying gay and lesbian couples, we traveled to Toronto and we were wed, although our marriage is not recognized in the United States, our country. For me, it's simple, really. I believe that telling our stories will move us closer to marriage equality and that future generations will benefit from our actions, just as we have benefited from the work of those who came before us. I hope that someday, our marriage will be recognized in our own state and our own country. During the show, you'll meet two Unitarian Universalist same-sex couples and the Catholic parents of a gay son. That's Katie singing. She is the 3-year-old daughter of teachers Sue Morgan and Jenny Gall. Sue and Jenny have been together for 11 years. My first memory of them was watching the beauty and joy of their swing dancing. Today, like many other parents of young children, much of that energy, time, and creativity is now devoted to raising their daughter and preparing for the birth of their second child.
I just remember feeling this sense of inevitability or just synchronicity when we met. It just felt like this was part of my fate or my karma, you know, like I just had to be with her.
Yeah, I felt that too, and it was a little more awkward for me because I was in a relationship with someone I'd been with for almost 6 years. Mm-hmm. And then I met Jenny and I'm like, okay, can't ignore this.
So. Yeah, that's a good way to describe it. Yeah. It's like it could not be ignored.
Yeah. I think we were together about 2 years before we moved in together.
Yeah. I thought it was good for us.
It was good for us. Yeah. And then we got a nasty little apartment together in the grand tradition of first apartments.
And we had a lovely time.
And then
we had little kittens and we took care of kittens and I started to learn about gardening and I don't know what you started learning dancing.
Swing dancing, that's kind of grew. It's kind of incredible if you can lead and follow and swing dance. You can probably make it okay in a relationship, you know, because it's all about communication.
So what led us to think about marriage? It was your idea this past summer. Or 2 summers ago.
It was my idea.
It was your idea. Yeah. I mean, I was completely wrapped into, you know, summertime. That's my favorite time. You know, and she was like, well, let's arrange it. You know, 5 weeks before we go to Canada to visit her sister, let's see if we can go to Canaan and get married. And I was kind of like, ugh.
This is the shortest term, the quickest planned wedding, I think, ever, that wasn't like a shotgun wedding or, you know, I'm heading off to war, dear. It was.
I'm so glad we did it after we did it.
Oh, I know. It was very simple, though. No, we were going to be vacationing up near the Canada border, and gay marriage had just been legalized in Ontario, and I'm like, why not? You know, we can afford $100 Canadian to go and stand in front of a minister. And
a UU minister, by the way.
Of course, yes.
She was lovely.
She was lovely.
We had it in her house.
And
three of my mom and two of my siblings came. I was so worried they weren't going to show up, but they came right at the last minute. So.
And most of my siblings were already up there because we were having a family vacation in the area. And then we had a nice little reception at my sister and her husband's new bed and breakfast. I think they had become full owners of it a week before or something.
Yeah.
And here they hosted this nice little reception for us. So.
Remember when we walked into, where was it, Gananoque? Where we had
Gananoque, where we got the license.
It was great to just go in there and say, okay, we want a marriage license. And the woman's like, okay, you know, like every
totally
day.
Totally nonplussed. Oh. It was just like, okay, you know, here it is.
Then we had ice cream.
Yeah, that was our celebration. So we got the license and then we got married the next day.
Mm-hmm. And we got a license a couple months later. I love showing that. It's so official. But unfortunately, it doesn't mean a lot here yet. We hoped it would. I asked my new employer, you know, we were married in Canada, but they said no.
No health insurance benefits. So that's where we are. One kid and one on the way. Dog, two cats, a house, and a marriage license. That's kind of it.
So, no, it did feel different. And I think if I came back here knowing that would mean that, you know, we could submit our taxes as a married couple, we could be, you know, that it would feel completely different. I mean, there are some really important things that we can't do. And I've really felt that this year, starting a new job.
Yeah.
I'm a first-year employee, and it's hard for me to, I want to make a stink, you know. And
yeah, but at the same time, you want to say, okay, and we've had the benefits through your employer, and we kind of came to
take them for granted.
Rely on them because I've been working half-time so that I'd be home more with Kate. Even though I work in a daycare center and it's a wonderful child care center, we didn't want to have a child and have somebody else raise her, you know, 8 or 9 hours a day because we were working our buns off. So we made the choice for me to work half-time instead of getting a full-time teaching job so that we had more parent time with Kate, but that's put us at a disadvantage now that Jenny's employer doesn't offer domestic partnership. And we don't know exactly what's going to happen when the baby's born. Will, you know, with Kate, it took 6 months before Jenny was able to adopt her. And so, you know, if we were able to be married, Jenny would automatically be the parent. It doesn't matter that she's not biologically the parent. A husband and wife, even if the husband isn't the biological father, is automatically considered the father on the birth certificate if the wife wants it that way. So we don't know what it's going to mean as far as whether her employer will say...
Count me as head of household.
Count you as head of household, count the child as hers before the adoption goes through, let Jenny put the baby on her health insurance, and we really have no idea. It comes back to kids, and I think about what does it mean for Kate to grow up with parents that can't get married? I know that... From some reading I've done and sociological studies and things, that often older children of gay parents are caught in this conflict because they know that their families are fine, and yet they're, particularly if as they grow up they realize that they're heterosexual, they feel protective of their parents. They feel like they have to. They somehow are responsible for their parents' oppression, and I don't want our daughter to feel that way. I mean, you know, that's not her fight. I mean, it's her fight just like it's anybody else's, but it's not hers. It's not her fight to have to defend her parents or to have to feel defensive on behalf of her parents because society is choosing to discriminate or view us a certain way. You know, there's one little but very big aspect of marriage equality.
I think that we are experiencing the same things that so many other people experience, being mm-hmm. parents and being a family, being a couple. It's very mundane.
And it doesn't seem like we should have to even explain that it feels like society should be to the point where it's not a big surprise that gay couples are unlike any other couples, but that must be out there, or marriage equality would already have happened. There must be some feeling that, oh, well, you know, I don't know what people think.
I don't know, it's defaming the institution.
I really am puzzled by what people think, if they even get to the point of thinking about it, or if it's just that gut reaction saying, I can't go there. I think it's a gut reaction.
I really do. But I think it's this thing of tradition that it's just, you can't even imagine it. I mean, I think that's what's so hard for my father.
Yeah.
That he just can't even conceive of two people of the same sex loving each other in a romantic way.
I don't think he gets beyond the sex part.
Yeah, the sex part just, you know. He can't digest it.
And I don't mind this going on the record. We are the parents of a 3-year-old. Enough said.
We go to bed at 9.
I was going to say, we go to bed at 9, and if we're lucky, we sleep straight through till 7. That's all that anyone needs to know. Yep. Anyone who's the parent of a 3-year-old probably understands. Your dad can really get over that part of it. Mm-hmm. It's so not the major part of our relationship.
I think, I just, right now, we're partners. I mean, we're partners in so many ways, but the parenting, I just really... Whoa, here she comes.
Speaking of...
We're partners, and I love being a co-parent. You know, that's what... I love having this other wonderful person I can talk to about how we're raising Katie and how we're working things out with her. It's ideal. I love having a team. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have this wonderful thing. Hello!
Hi, Katie.
Did you go to the playground?
That we're helping grow and develop, and I just love doing it as a team.
Petrillo is a local attorney, now retired, and his partner Bill Ramey is a local physician in private practice. Tom and Bill have been together for 26 years. They share their own story and also offer a perspective on marriage equality informed by their very different professions.
First of all, Tom said we've been together 26 years, but we have to explain what we mean by that. Well, yeah, I mean, not having the benefit of matrimony and not having a specific date, we had to choose one. So the 26 years dates from the time that we moved into our first house together.
Right.
We actually were courting for a full year before that.
Right. And of course, back 26 years ago, the landscape was quite different. You didn't even think about marriage for GLBT people. There wasn't a word that was used. And no one really had sat down and analyzed the difference it would make in one's life. Now, having been together 26 years, we've had some big and some small issues that have come up by the fact that we cannot marry. The big ones, for example, is... over the years, we're both in our 60s, and over the years, we've been preparing for retirement. And I'm also a lawyer, so I'm well aware of all you need to do to be in a position that is somewhat equal to a traditional married couple. And numerous legal decisions have to be made by us that would not have to be made if we could be legally married. So that's one of the big things. And then there's small things that come along.
Well, now you consider those big things because you're a lawyer. You consider the legal things, the rights, because you're a lawyer. But a psychiatrist might not consider those other things so particularly small either, which has to do with acknowledgement of our relationship by others, the sort of feeling that it gives you inside to be affirmed in your relationship. I think I mentioned a couple of things to you earlier. Walking through a crowd and people stepping in between us because they don't realize we're a couple.
They automatically assume that we will step aside for them, a couple. And it's not a big thing, but we laugh about it. But then, on the other hand, it, I guess, represents the fact that we just are not acknowledged.
Well, sometimes I want to say, hey, Tom, wait up a bit. These people need to get in front of us.
Yeah, right. Now, I, of course, have a little different background than Bill does. I was married for 10 years, and I have two children. And I now have grandchildren, which is really a nifty part of life. It was after 10 years that I recognized that there were some things that were a little different in my life than that I should really face. And I have to say that being part of the Unitarian Church made things a little bit easier. My wife and I had joined the Unitarian Church about 2 years before many things happened here. And when it turned out that we were going to have to go our separate ways because of my orientation, I was able to rely on the church and the ministers there to give me some advice to make me feel comfortable. And it was nice to know that I could settle in that church and not have to explain myself. I was accepted, recognized, and then when Bill and I ultimately got together, we found that everyone there, of course, accepted us as a couple. It wasn't a big issue. You can probably about one quarter of the different benefits and rights that a typical married couple would have, we can provide for each other with a whole volume of legal documentation and things of that nature. But when it comes right down to it, we simply are not on an equal basis. To be able to say you are married really is an acknowledgement. It's a government acknowledgement. It's a private acknowledgement of your relationship. And frankly, we've been together for 26 years. Shouldn't our relationship be acknowledged as well as some young couple who've been married a year and a half? I think when you look at it in those terms, it makes it a little easier to accept. Throughout the last 20 years, we have basically told each other and our children not to stereotype, to accept people as you find them. Don't stereotype. But that still happens with GLBT people. They are very much stereotyped. We keep our yard as nice as anybody else keeps their yard, maybe nicer, and people love that, and they talk to us about it. The issues that every other married couple forever has dealt with in their neighborhood and their church and work, we now find that we can do too. We can talk about those same things too. When they're exposed to people in their own neighborhoods, it's amazing how attitudes can change.
How do you say to your child in the night, nothing's all black, but then nothing's all white? How do you say it will all be all right when you know that it mightn't be true? What do you do?
23 years ago, Mary Ellen and Casey Lapata's son Jim came out to them as a gay man. They started on a journey of love and growth that led them to years of graduate study and to their work that supports the parents of gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender children and provides education to the larger Catholic community. Initially working in their parish and diocese, they have expanded that work nationally through the organization they founded, Fortunate Families. This is also the title of Mary Ellen's book.
He was home for Thanksgiving. He had gone out with some friends and come home very early. It was like 10:30. He was clearly upset about something, and I really didn't have a clue what he was upset about, but Casey had already gone to bed, and
we sat down on the sofa, and Jim said to me, he says, "You know what I'm going to tell you, don't you?" And I said, "No." And he started to cry, and he said, "I'm lonely." He says, "I'm lonely for another man." Now, he didn't mean any particular man at that time, but those words really put what he was dealing with into a context for me that was incredibly helpful. If he had just said, "I'm gay," I'm not sure I would have known more how to react. You know, that didn't mean a lot to me, but his words of being lonely meant a great deal to me. And early years, the best thing that Jim did was not let us say, "We love you, we're okay with this, we just don't need to talk about it." I tell you, he was a very wise young man, because he knew that that was part of a little bit of denial going on there.
So I think it was the next day, I was going on a business trip, and Jim drove me to the airport. And so on the way to the airport, he told me that he's gay. And it was unexpected. I didn't know what to say. I asked, "Are you sure?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Well, can you change?" And he said, "No." And that's as far as the conversation went. And, of course, then I'm on a plane going across, you know, to California, trying to think about all this stuff. As Mary Ellen said, it really wasn't on our radar screen growing up. But even though it wasn't, and I can't recall, you know, the words being used or anybody saying anything, we still had that understanding that homosexuality was wrong, period. That was it. It was like from church and society, this osmosis, we just kind of picked that up. So I had a lot of work to do, and I'm much more of a thinker than a feeler like Mary Ellen is. So for me, it was trying to reconcile, you know, the church teaching, which I got into and tried to understand, and what society was basically saying, with our understanding and our love for our son, was and is a good, very good person. And that's where I spent a lot of time trying. I read books. I actually went to school. I was in the master's program. I got a master's in theology, a master of divinity, and a lot of my time was spent, no matter what the course was, I always tried to twist it to, you know, paper on having to do with homosexuality. So I tell everybody I minored in homosexuality.
I can remember when Jim was still in college, he went to Miami of Ohio, so we had a long drive to take him back and forth from school. So we talked a lot. And I remember him asking me at one point that if he ever met somebody that he really loved and wanted to spend his life with, if his dad and I would have a wedding celebration for him. Now, this was probably less than a year after he came out to us. I said, "Jim, slow down. I'm sure this sounds familiar. Slow down. I'm still getting used to this." And then years later, I remember talking to this sister at our parish. We were talking about gay and lesbian people that we know, couples that we know. She said, "You know, once we start recognizing gay and lesbian people as full members of our world, of humanity, the marriage question is going to be there." She's very perceptive. And I thought for about 5 seconds, and I says, "Yeah, that makes sense, because that's an integral part of humanity, that bonding." Since Jim came out to us in the last 23 years, we have seen such rapid change. We talked earlier about the rapid change in technology. And I know for gay and lesbian people, it seems like there's hardly a budge, and that everything is too slow. And it is too slow when people are hurting. But there has been an enormously fast change in people's perceptions of gay and lesbian people. And I think very much that it's a generational thing, and this will continue to the acceptance and affirmation of gay and lesbian people as whole and holy parts of our world will only continue. But the marriage issue, if we can call it that, is I think is it's in a free and democratic society, it will happen. I do not see how people can be denied something so basic to their humanity.
What we try to make clear when we talk about same-sex marriage is that we're talking about a civil legislation. And civil legislation, when you look at it in the realm of church teaching, the issue is not whether it's considered moral or immoral. That's not the real question. The question with civil legislation is this good for the common good, or at least neutral with respect to the common good or public order? Because that's what civil legislation is all about. So the real question for same-sex civil marriage is this good for society, or at least neutral with regard to society? And you can look at various arguments. You know, one of the obvious ones is, well, if we don't have same-sex union laws that allow same-sex marriages, does that mean it's better for people to be coupled together without the civil support and all the rights, benefits, and responsibilities that go along with it? In a backwards sort of way, it's encouraging promiscuity, if you really think about it. So that's what we try to focus on, is, you know, this notion that we're talking about some God-given sacred union between man and a woman, that's not the real question. The question is, what is good for society? Is this good for society or not? And I don't know how anybody could argue that giving civil support to two same-sex people who love each other, want to commit for lifelong relationship together, how that can be bad for society.
I think one of the most compelling arguments, though, for parents to make around the marriage issue is that I want all of my children to have the same rights. And fortunately, I have a son who lives in, my gay son lives in Massachusetts. But those rights are being challenged there, too. That's not a totally done deal. But I want him to live wherever he wants to in his country and have the rights that my son in Oregon has and my daughter and son in New York have. So I think that's so self-evident, it makes me wonder what the argument is about.
Our love is here.
Is inspired by the Unitarian Universalist belief that religion is about living well in this life, rather than preparing for the next. We are certainly grateful for the generous support from the New York State Convention of Universalists and the Unitarian Universalist Funding Program. If you'd like to find out more about this show, or about Unitarian Universalism, check our website out at lifenowradio.org.